move the night you saw this alien?
Well, the evening began at the Gentlemen's Club, where we were discussing Wittgenstein over a game of backgammon.
Mr. Simpson, it's a felony to lie to the FBI.
We were sitting in Barney's car eating packets of mustard. You happy?
There are times when you have to have fresh breath. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, we're really pulling this tape off the market very soon, so you better get your copy of Sex, Pies, and Videotape. Right now, it's the perfect St. Patrick's Day gift.
1-800-881-9176.
Really, we're going to take it off the market very shortly, and then won't you be sad when you don't have your copy?
Once we pull this off the market, it's gone forever.
We've learned from Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, it's the last time this decade to buy Sex, Pies, and Videotape.
You are you're looking at your last opportunity to own a national treasure.
Of course, if you're a kid, please get your parents' permission.
Of course.
Because there's over 300 different body parts in this tape. What I think's funny, and we want to thank the tens of thousands of people who've already ordered the tape and made it a big success. We're now in our third printing on this tape. Mm-hmm. What's so funny is that I saw a card today that had the number of tapes that have been sold, the number of tapes that have been shipped, the number of people that have called, number of credit cards that have been refused.
Right.
And then it's returns. And we have about 95 returns.
Yep.
Now, in some cases, it's people who have sent the tape back.
Right.
Because the box was crushed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as the tape has not been opened.
Right.
And if we can see that the post office has made some kind of a problem with it, we'll give you another one.
That's it.
But we've gotten about 75 back from guys, and universally, every one of these 75, they don't want the money back. They've just sent the tape back because, and to a man,
right?
They write and say their wives didn't like the tape.
Right.
That they ordered the tape.
And not the wives had seen the tape. The wives didn't like the idea of the tape.
So the guys, rather than put it in a drawer or bring it to a friend's house or throw it away.
Basically, my wife made me send it back.
Yeah, they sent it back.
Wouldn't open it.
And this is not one guy.
Right.
This is like 75.
Yep.
Just like that.
Unopened.
You know, because I got all hot when I saw this. I said, well, we're not giving refunds. We didn't offer a money back refund. And the guy says, no. We don't have to give any refunds. These are just guys who said that their wives didn't approve of the tape.
Sorry.
Wow.
So that's a rather large percentage of our listening audience out there right now.
It's amazing. A lot of henpecked men out there where they were not allowed to view the tape.
If only you men were as macho as I am. If only you handled your woman the way that I handle my woman.
You are definitely the king of your castle.
Amen, brother. And so are you.
I know I am.
With your big lobes.
Absolutely, yes. When I lose the keys, I always feel like the real big man in my house.
So call 1-800-881-9176. It's your last chance to order Sex, Pies, and Videotape. $29.95 plus $4.50 shipping and handling. We think you'll love it. It's a great party tape.
Yeah, order it today because once it's gone forever.
It's our nude Olympics. And although we're not allowed to call it the Nude Olympics because the Olympics people got mad at us.
Yes. Do we need to make it any clearer for you? Naked people playing Olympic Games.
Oh, and don't forget the big blueberry pie eat-off.
All naked and all eating blueberry pie, all for you.
And with all the special effects that you've come to know and love the Don and Mike Show for.
It's going to be gone if you don't order it today.
1-800-881-9176. Really?
Okay, we're going to keep it for a little while longer, but I mean, I don't mean today. I got a little carried away there.
But really, sometime very soon.
Yeah, it'll be gone forever.
We're going to pull it off the market. Now, we have Valerie Bertinelli in this hour. We
good.
Have Chuck Stossel in this hour. We're already into the second hour of the show. We have Buzz, the earring boy, with news.
Uh-huh.
All of this in this hour. We have one of three or four different ways we could go here.
Okay.
I'm prepared to yell at the manager at the Buffalo station.
All right.
I'm also prepared to yell at the people at the Family Channel because we never got our plug there.
Christina Fadade.
Prepared here to call this guy who doesn't get the show.
Now, that's the one that whetted my appetite a little bit. Somebody sent us a letter?
Right. It's a new listener. Gentleman, he writes.
Okay.
My name is, I won't repeat his name, Doofus Dickweed. I have been a listener. Oops, I gave it. I've been a listener for a very short time. I have a hard time deciding if I like you guys or not.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, the jury is still out. Just when you guys do something really funny, you turn around and do something so painfully lame, I have to turn the radio to another station and chastise myself for listening in the first place.
Come on, sir. Detail, detail, please, detail.
So far, I've been coming back. You know, I hate letters like this. Like, yeah, with guys that want to beg us to be our listener. You don't like the show? Screw you. Turn the channel.
Yeah, don't try to play that super tease game with us.
And listen, what this whole thing is about now. This weekend, I was listening to some of your reruns. And on Monday, they played your conversation with the Cincinnati Reds about the Marge Schott controversy of a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
He made the politically incorrect point of stating that what she had said was essentially factually true and you guys ate him up. This is when Marge Schott was on television and said Hitler was a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, made that incredibly asinine statement, and mm-hmm. there was tremendous controversy about it. And, you know, Marge and her dog Shotzi were ostracized at that point from the baseball community.
And anybody who's listened to this show has known that for years before she got in trouble with her mouth,
right,
Marge Schott has been a favorite of this show simply because she's so hot.
Yes, a woman that easy in the eye, easy on the eye, is you know, is a very nice target.
And of course, you know, she says something stupid, something so universally stupid that everybody agrees it's bad. Of course, we're going to pile on.
Yeah, I mean, the anti-Semite comments that she made, also the notorious tightwad that she is. We've heard stories about that, and it seems a month doesn't go by where there's not a story about Marge Schott.
Now, here we go. Then we go into the next paragraph. I've taught history for 24 years. I can assure you, like you, I hate Hitler. But, gentlemen, I can show you many scholarly articles and films that state quite clearly what this guy that called and what Schott said is very defensible as a purely academic statement. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
blah.
Well, listen to that. Now I see where he's going with this.
No,
okay.
No, you don't. Not yet.
Oh, really?
Not yet.
Well, I mean, I don't care for what he has to say there.
With that said, here is the thing that I got upset about. As inflexible as you were to the guy who called, you turned around in one of your later segments and began howling about an episode of Hogan's Heroes.
Right.
And talking about how funny the plot was and analyzing the characters. Good God, gentlemen. Is this not the height of hypocrisy? What a funny bunch of guys those Nazis were. What a picnic it was in those camps with Hogan and the others. Where was Schneidler and those Jews' problem? I'm just reading this as written.
Mm-hmm.
No sense of humor? You guys thought it was very funny. Take your own advice. Find a Jewish guy where you work and tell him that you think Hogan's Heroes is a funny show. Well,
wow, this guy's got a little agenda here. Yeah, you know what worries me is that the guy he's talking about was a guy that was trying to defend Marge Schott.
Is that what that was?
I believe, and her anti-Semitic comments. We teed off on that guy because we didn't care for what Marge Schott had to say. That's not necessarily going out on a limb.
So I don't even want to backtrack here and get to the whole thing about why Hogan's Heroes is a funny show, because it portrays the Nazis as idiots. And hello? It's a TV show.
It's a little TV show, and the bit is that we talk about Hogan's Heroes because anytime we call Germany, we mention Hogan's Heroes because it makes the Nazis look like such idiots.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
See, now here's a guy who's taking us much too literally. On one hand, he's listening to us chastise this guy with Marge Schott. Mm-hmm. Then he hears the Hogan's Heroes things. I think the key to the letter is where he says, good God, gentlemen,
yep,
is this not the height of hypocrisy?
And I think it's important to point out, though, in this letter, that I'm not real clear on whether or not this guy maybe has a hidden agenda, because he is, in effect, defending this other fella that we that was defending Marge Schott.
Let me see. I show my classes at NBC White Paper, program on video, where in the first 5 minutes of the program, the main historical narrator clearly states that if Hitler died before the start of WW2, he'd be hailed today.
Please
hello?
Check the number and dial again.
He'd be hailed today as one of the great German statesmen of all time. This is the point the poor guy you called every name in the book was making. And besides, isn't this the good old USA where we have the right to speak freely about our opinions no matter how stupid they might be?
Sure, he did and we did.
And furthermore, if uttering offensive, indefensible, asinine opinions is a crime punishable by death, as you seem to imply that day, both of you would have been shot long ago.
Oh,
and then he goes into the tirade about Hogan's Heroes.
And you know, it's just, and not to get heavy on this guy, but sir, when we're talking about Hitler,
everybody knows,
we're talking about something that you can't put into an academic framework, okay, you jerk?
And Hogan's Heroes is a damn funny show.
Absolutely.
I love that show.
You can't make the comparison.
I love it.
Call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
Let me try on one of the other lines. I'll try this guy one more time. I know we got to get the Valerie Bertinelli on. Oh, goodness. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you doing?
Hi, we're great. Are you the guy that sent the letter?
No, I'm not the guy that sent the letter, but I'm the guy that saw... I like Hogan's Heroes, and I'm Jewish.
There you go, yeah.
And on top of that, I swear to God, I told the guy that answered the phone, I am not making this up. I saw something on television about 6 months ago, and Robert Clary, who played LeBeau.
Was
a documentary, and it said Robert Clary, Holocaust survivor.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he is.
That's
yeah.
true.
So he must have thought Hogan's Heroes was funny also.
Listen, Hogan's Heroes is a TV show. Hey, that's our defense on that one.
That's right.
I'm just concerned that there's a guy out there who thinks this is like a serious show.
Yeah, and don't you think that a guy saying that, ask any Jewish person you work with if they think Hogan's Heroes is funny, isn't that in and of itself a bit of an anti-Semitic comment? He's just assuming that because someone's Jewish, they're not going to like Hogan's Heroes. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Hogan's Heroes is a perfect show for all people, Mike.
Here, here.
Jews, Christians.
That Larry Hovis, what an actor.
Hey, what was that, sir?
I said that Larry Hovis, what an actor.
Larry Hovis, yes, Carter. Carter, we all loved Carter.
And how about Kinch, huh?
Yeah, Kinch was terrific.
Kinch was your token black guy on Hogan's Heroes. And Richard Dawson was your token English guy.
Yes, you had your Newkirk.
Yeah, and LeBeau was your token French guy.
You had your token sergeant, the idiot sergeant. Schultz, played by the late John Banner.
Mm-hmm.
And Werner Klemper, who's been on this program.
Hope we can get through. I'm just really in the mood. I know, we got a break for Valerie Bertinelli. For goodness sakes.
Oh, dear.
You're not going to answer? Or did I get the right number? Hello?
Ow! We're sorry.
Ow!
The carrier you have selected is unable to complete your call.
You know, the problem is the telephone system here that I can't get a line out.
Has the whole world gone insane?
I guess so. We'll file that one away in our crackpot file. Okay?
Absolutely. Make sure we keep that handy.
Another new fan. Welcome to the program, everybody. We're goddamn hypocrites, okay?
Of course we are.
Come on. We bill ourselves as hypocrites.
America's favorite hypocrites, Don.
Amen, brother. And now we'll be right back with Valerie Bertinelli.
Right.
After this.
The Don and Mike Show.
JFK. Everything you read, when he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways. He returned, you know, got all the factories going, everything.
There she is.
But then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess. And I think even his own generals tried to kill him, didn't they? Everybody in history knows that was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
My little Margie.
There are millions of broadcasters on the radio, but there's only 5 or 8 guys who do what they do. The world needs their marvelous glitz. Don and Mike.
Here we are, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara on the Westwood One Entertainment Network and a channel check. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening in Dallas and Fort Worth on KOOO 1190, the talk station. Same to you in Denver on 1280 AM. Ralph, we'd have it no other way. In San Diego on KCBQ.
All right.
All right, I believe we've worked it out now. Just had a grueling session with our producer, Robert Gelpin.
You were doing some last-second fine-tuning?
Well, here's exactly what he says. He says, okay, this is going into the commercials now, so we have 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. He says, I have Valerie Bertinelli on the phone right now. This was as we were heading into 6 minutes of commercials.
Okay, it's a long time to wait.
He put her on hold. I go back to the office, and I said, well, you should either pick up the phone and talk to her, mm-hmm. or put her on a line where she can hear audio down the telephone.
That usually gives our guests a feel for the program.
Right. So he says, I can't do that. Oh, now hold on. Now he's putting on the screen that we only have 2 minutes with Valerie Bertinelli. I'll get back to yell at him in a moment. Let's bring Valerie Bertinelli now. Here she is, Valerie Bertinelli.
Hi, Valerie.
Oh, thank you for that applause.
Who doesn't love Valerie Bertinelli? We all do.
We love Valerie Bertinelli.
So you really are on a schedule? We only have 2 minutes?
Well, I think the next program I have to do is live, that's why.
Oh, no.
Well, we're live.
Well, now it's down to 1 minute.
Doesn't it matter that we're live?
Okay, let's just talk real fast.
Talk real fast. How's it going, Valerie?
It's going just fine. How's it going, too?
Okay, you have a... listen, I get the plug in first, and then all the other questions.
Sure.
Night's in, Sunday night, Tuesday night. Watch.
Sunday night, Tuesday night, CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Name of the show is called Night Sins.
With Harry Hamlin.
It's very Valerie Bertinelli and her new hair color.
Is that the first time you've been a blonde?
No, I've actually been a blonde now for almost a year and a half.
Wow.
All right, now the many questions. How many tennis balls could Anne Romano get into her mouth at one time?
Oh, my God.
We always thought that she had the largest mouth in show business.
Or what was her name? Bonnie Franklin.
Bonnie Franklin, that's right. Those in the days of One Day at a Time.
Yeah, but what about Sandra Bernhardt? She's got a pretty big mouth, too.
You know something? That is a heck of a point. She actually could compete with the other lady.
Good call, Valerie. What was it like being on Rosie O'Donnell's show? I thought you had a lot you wanted to say, and she wouldn't let you get a lot of stuff in.
Oh, really? No, I had a good time.
We kind of think that Rosie is insanely jealous of any woman that's remotely attractive.
No, she really wasn't. She was very sweet. She talked to me during the commercial break, and
okay.
I really liked her.
Did she come on to you?
No, stop.
Okay, how's your son?
He's just lovely. He's having a play date over a girlfriend's house right now.
How old is he now?
He'll be 6 next month, and I've got to plan this birthday party. It's really stressing me out.
Really?
Is your husband going to fight with Sam Hagar?
They're going to fight?
Are they going to duke it out?
Oh, no.
No, everything fine. How is Ed?
Oh, Ed's just great. They're recording. They just started recording, I guess, last week.
Do you call him Ed?
Ed, Eddie, honey.
Ed is, I think, the funniest. You know, because I know him like everybody does from the videos and the concert. He's Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen, that's
like, well,
right.
Ed's easier, you know. Eddie is 2 syllables, Ed's 1 syllable. You get there quicker. Ed.
Do you have a secret pet name for him that maybe yeah. We wouldn't no one would know unless they were listening to this show?
It shall remain secret.
Oh, I bet there's some good ones.
You know, he's a very nice man. I was at their concert last summer. I took my son, who's 11,
mm-hmm.
to see Van Halen, and we had the backstage passes, and we were roaming around back there, totally unsupervised, and we happened to be standing right by a room where the band was,
uh-huh.
and as they came out, I had the feeling that they were going to blow us off, but they saw my son there, and your husband came over and said hello and introduced us to everybody in the band, and it was very nice.
Ed's a really nice guy. He's not given enough credit for that, but he really is a nice guy. And the only people that don't think he's a nice guy are people like Sam and Dave who, you know, have LSD.
Is it tremendously difficult to have that kind of a high-profile marriage? Because you really have one of the, I would say, the top 10 high-profile Los Angeles marriages. And does that put added strain on it?
No, I think people, April will be 16 years we've been married now, so I think people are so... like, don't care about us anymore.
I think they do. You know what? I'll tell you something. I've been married to my wife for 15, going on 16 years this year. And there were two other marriages at the same time. It was Princess Di and Charles, and you and Eddie Van Halen got married around the same time.
1981, right?
Yes.
And you're still together, and I'm still together.
Yes, and I always hold that up. You know, I was like, look, those two didn't make it. But for goodness sakes, I say that to my wife. If Valerie Bertinelli is still with Eddie Van Halen, you could be with me, for goodness sakes.
That's great.
They're giving me, like, this flash thing across the back. What does that mean?
Oh, no.
All right. That means, what is the next show? Let me get totally humiliated.
WCBS-AM in New York.
Oh, they suck, Valerie. What a lousy station they are. Well, thank you for your 2 minutes.
It was a pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys.
What's the name of the miniseries again?
Night Sins.
Night Sins.
Night.
Okay, that's Sunday night and Tuesday night.
That's right.
On CBS. Thank you, Valerie.
Where?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was a very brief interview with...
and she's gone.
With Ms. Bertinelli.
Wow. Oh, Rob. Oh, Robbie. Here he is now.
Here comes Rob. Right.
Hello,
here comes Rob.
Rob
having one of his worst weeks ever.
That was a great interview. Top notch.
Listen, I know the interview was great, but what was the problem we had? See, what I wanted was Ms. Bertinelli to be able to hear audio down the telephone. So I said to Rob, call her back on one of the lines that has audio down, like when you call the dentist's office and you hear a radio station on hold. He says, can't do it. I said, why? And you said, because she's on satellite.
No, I said they were dialing for her they were doing satellite dialing for her. She wasn't doing her own satellite. When I set up the interview, I asked, is there a number?
This is a telephone. All I went back and I said,
well,
please,
seems
just,
I failed you once again.
Simply have Valerie Bertinelli on a line where she can hear the show, and I start hearing about satellites.
Well, I used the word satellite. I'm sorry about
but
that.
But it wasn't a satellite. It was just a phone call.
No,
right?
No, it wasn't a satellite at all.
So why'd you say satellite?
I said, because they were doing satellite dialing, meaning she wasn't doing her own dialing. I didn't know if she'd have her numbers handy.
What is satellite dialing?
Someone else doing the dialing for her. Secondhand dialing.
Satellite dialing.
Satellite dialing.
So then I say to him, I don't
understand the problem.
I had the same reaction. And I said, well, I don't care if she's dialing the phone or not herself. Give her the telephone number that she can call where she can hear the show down the line. And then he said again, well, she's not doing her own dialing. Well, maybe she can number to whoever her dialer is.
I wanted to minimize the possibility of her, for some reason, not being on the show. With the way our request lines jump and hop, I was afraid there was the outside chance always that she might not get through.
But it's bad to have a big celebrity and have her wait and hear nothing on the telephone for 6 minutes, though.
Well, I would have talked to her.
Well, you didn't talk to her, though.
I could have.
Well, you should
have. You were too busy yelling at me to get her on another line.
No, I listen, my yelling was very concise.
Oh, I know it was.
I condensed my yelling.
I feel like I'm at Wimbledon. I feel like I'm in Wimbledon, center court at Wimbledon now watching go back and forth, back and forth. Hey, Rob, just a little tip. He's kind of like the boss. You just say, yeah, no problem.
Well, no, but no, listen, all he's got to do it, though. You know, I don't want everybody to just yes-man me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to be the one guy that follows through on it.
Don't yell at me. Now, don't you be yelling at me. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mike, he's the boss. Quiet.
I am not yelling. Don't patronize me. Get out of
here.
Hey,
and don't you give me that kind of lip either. I'm trying to help you out here, Rob.
I just thought I might as well go for a hat
trick. Satellite dialing? I've never heard of it. To be perfectly honest with you, satellite dialing, I've never heard of it
before. See, it's a BS excuse.
But it was a great interview.
Yes, it was. You're right about that.
See if I try to help you out again.
Bye now, Rob.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Hey, come here. Eat this paper. Come eat this paper for prep sheet. There you go. All right, bye-bye, Rob.
He's angry. He's the anger of the cheeks. You can always tell with Rob. It's a dead giveaway. He's one of the rare people that you can actually see the blood go into the cheeks.
So angry, but unable to let that anger go. He must hold it in.
Someday, though.
Pressure cooker.
I'm beginning to think that maybe someday it's going to be one of those deals where we'll show up at work and there'll be a hook and ladder out here. And what's going on? Take a look up there. And there he will be on top of the building.
You know, he's finding firsthand why we've been through 4 producers in the last 10 years.
Very, very difficult job.
Mike did a pretty good impression of him today in the office.
Yeah, the boy who cannot leave. The boy. Rob has a tendency to start out of a room and then turn around and come back into a room and then start out of a room again and come back into a room.
You could never leave the office.
It's that pressure. And you know something? It happened. You know, another one, Frank was another producer who used to have that same thing. Start out of the room, come back into the room.
Do you think it's us?
Of course it's us. Of course it's us.
How could it be us?
It's an insane job working for us.
All right. Well, that was nice. Nice 2 minutes with her.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I really, it was just a little station up in New York. They could have, we're a national program.
I just wish you could have heard, some stuff on hold. That's all. Really, but I understand it was satellite dialing. It's obviously way too advanced for somebody like me, a big mouth like me who just likes ordering people around because I got nothing better to do. Because that's my role in life.
Oh, God.
Just to be a big nudge. Come back here, Rob.
Oh, God.
Come here, Rob.
Oh, no.
Come here, Rob.
Oh, no.
Come here. I want to tell you something. I love you, man.
I love you, too. I love this job.
Do you still have your uniform?
What uniform is that?
I'm just
what uniform? The oh my God! It is
on the way. I'm kidding. Joke. I'm kidding. I'm a kidder. Did you see how white his face just went? All the color went out of his cheek.
I don't have that uniform. I think one of my first producer's jobs was destroying that uniform. I smoked it.
Well, you're doing a bang up job.
Thank you.
I'm very serious about that.
Okay. Sorry about the Bertinelli thing.
What did we say yesterday about that word? Sorry.
That it's unacceptable. I should learn that from Nick Joe. And now he's dead. And perhaps I'll be joining him shortly.
Is it that the rest of your face loses color, or is that the cheeks themselves become red?
I don't know.
It's evened out now because you do seem like you really have calmed down a little bit.
Well, I have.
When you ate the paper, the cheeks were the color of tomatoes.
Well, that's next to white paper.
And that thing with I'm sorry, I can't take credit for that. That's from that great movie, Swimming with the Sharks. That's kind of my role model movie for how to treat your employee. You ever seen that movie? It's got Kevin Spacey in it.
Yes. Kevin Spacey, who ends up like with his face slashed and lemon juice being poured into the open wounds.
Yes, I would be the Kevin Spacey character in this scenario. He says to his assistant, who he yells at and screams at all the time, and it's only the assistant really deserves it. I just want to point that out. He says to him, he screws something up, and he says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" And the guy says, "I'm sorry."
Right.
And he says, "Never say you're sorry. That shows a weakness. Never say you're sorry."
What would be the replacement phrase for "I'm sorry"? What would be seriously,
it will never happen again. I will take the steps necessary. Mm-hmm. What would you like? I will give you my finger. Whatever you have to do to show us that you're into the job. You remove a finger.
No, I thought when you said give you a finger.
No, I didn't know what I meant.
I guess I
You did. Know what I meant. Like in that movie with Benny from L.A. Law. What's the name of that movie?
Dr. Giggles.
Right.
Right, where he cuts off...
Oh, Darkman.
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 Cuts off the finger with a cigar thing. Well, listen, I'm kidding. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And don't worry at all about your job security.
Not at all. Do I ever?
I'm very proud of you. Rob Spiewak, he's my protege. He's my prodigy. I'm very proud of him. He's really grown into this job.
Yeah. We've only had a 3-day work week, but he's on his 8th day today.
It's not been the best week for Rob.
No, he has not had a successful week. It's been very, very difficult. He's actually pulled a few out of the fire this week, but it's been extraordinarily stressful. And I have a feeling I know what Rob's going to be doing at about 7:45 tonight.
With pulling the underpants out of, no. out of his butt.
He'll be on the end of a quart bottle of his favorite ale. And that's the one thing. You know something? That is the one thing that's going to make him survive in this job. He actually
Heavy drinking?
Yes, you're right. Yes. None of our other producers have ever hit the bottle, and that's you can make it all go away inside of a half hour. I bet he would agree. Hey, Rob, come back in here for a second.
I'm feeling bad. Come on back in here,
Rob.
Come here, Rob.
I think Rob will agree with me.
You big galoot.
No matter how stressful your week is, don't you think usually on a Friday night inside of 2 hours you can make it all go away?
My old friend, the bottle.
Listen, I love you. I'm very serious about that.
I love you guys, too.
You've got this job.
I love Molson Ice. And I'll spend some time with you, and then it's off to the brew pub known as my kitchen, and drink and drink, and awake tomorrow in a puddle of my own sick, ready to take on next week.
Okay, get out now. Get out. I just want to let you know I love you. You're doing a bang-up job. The ratings show you're doing a super job, Rob. Rob Spiewak, everybody.
That was Rob, our producer.
Temporary producer. We'll be back in a moment with Chuck Stossel, the Love Muscle.
The Dollar of My Show.
The station with less BS, WJFK.
And it's for you. All you have to do is wait. That's all. And then someone is going to contact you and tell you to say two words.
It's Alec Baldwin, Mike.
Precisely. Do you know what they are? Have you guessed yet?
Have you guessed?
No.
Have you guessed?
Not guilty.
Two words. Charlie Jones. The Don and Mike Show.
Have you guessed those two words yet? Charlie Jones.
Don Geronimo is Alec Baldwin.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Welcome.
Hey, listen, time to talk movies here.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Time for our weekly trip to the theater with Chuck Stossel, the Love Muscle from AMC. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, guys. I figured we'd go about Empire, and I could talk like this all day, too.
Yes, we'll be talking Star Wars. Before we get to Chuck and the movie review, want to thank everybody for the great questions that they've been faxing in for our lame interview with Dorothy Hamill in about an hour.
Excellent.
Keep them coming. We've got 6-7 really good ones right now.
Very good.
So if you got a question for Dorothy Hamill, you can fax it to us at 1-800-636-6410. Because frankly, I really don't know what we're going to speak to her about.
Well, now you're all set. Now we've got all those questions piling up.
Oh, plus we have Rudy, from Club Orgy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
That's in the next hour. Now movies with Chuck Stossel.
Hello.
So, hi, Charlie. We didn't speak to you last week because we were out in Reno.
Right, having fun with prostitutes. Not a problem.
Last weekend, that Clint Eastwood movie opened, and I am really looking forward to seeing that.
Absolute, looks good.
Absolute
sure.
power.
Mm-hmm. And there, it's the reuniting of Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman.
Right.
And this weekend, I guess it's Star Wars. Did you hear, Charlie? I mentioned that I was downtown today. And
yeah, I caught the beginning of the show when I was driving back up from Norfolk.
I happened to see people... I love the way you pronounce that. You're so
Thank
saucy.
You.
You're so saucy.
Hooray for Stosselwood.
I saw people who had obviously been camped out all night in front of the Uptown Theater.
Sure.
So this is happening across America now with the return of the... what is it? The movie? It's the
Empire Strikes
the
Back.
The Empire Strikes
all
Back.
All over again.
And this is... Now, is this... I've read it and Don mentioned it before. This is supposed to be the most visually impressive of the three?
This is the movie I hate most of the three, to be totally honest with you.
Good.
Jedi was the one for me that I really liked. This one,
Of course, it's a very good movie. The movie's probably going to do another $30 million this weekend. And by the way, after tonight, Star Wars should have added $100 million to its take.
Hey, Charlie, listen, you're a guy who runs a theater. Let me jump.
Well, I used to, but.
Okay, but you work with the theaters.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're a theater owner-operator and you've already got Star Wars going in two of your theaters, and now The Empire Strikes Back comes out? Do you still keep Star Wars in the other two theaters while Empire Strikes Back and two more?
Yes.
There is that much of a demand?
Yes. Originally, what 20th Century Fox wanted to do was pull Star Wars for Empire and take Star Wars out totally. But, I mean, it's been number one for three straight weeks. Like I said, it's done almost $100 million. Fox said, screw this, we're not pulling it.
Did anybody see this coming? I mean, I know it was really a total surprise, wasn't
it? Nobody saw this coming. Like I said, the original plan was Star Wars for 3 weeks, Empire for two, Jedi for two, and then everything's out. But you're going to get to the point now where you have the big theaters that are 12, 15, 20 screens that are going to be playing Jedi, Empire, and Star Wars most likely when all three are out in another 2 weeks.
All right, so it's supposed to be big. What else is new this weekend?
Rosewood also comes out. This is a movie that John Singleton did. If you know John Singleton, he did Boys from
Boys
the Hood.
Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood. He also did Poetic Justice, which I didn't care too much for. And a movie about 2 years ago called Higher Learning. It was about racism on a college campus.
Yes.
This movie, again, it's more of the same. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting... I think maybe we're getting a little bit too much of the Klan-type movies with A Time to Kill, The Chamber, and now this thrown right on top of each other. We all know the Klan equals bad. It's like Hitler equals bad. The Klan equals bad.
This has Ving Rhames in it, right?
Yeah, Marcellus Wallace is in this. The storyline is basically, and it is a true story, there was a town in Florida called Rosewood. It had a black section of town, about 100, 150 people live there. One of the men in the black portion of town was accused of beating and raping a white woman. So the Klan and the people in this Florida town go and they burn down the entire black section of town. And it turns out the guy did not do it.
And they fight back, right? And it's a
well, there's not much fighting back that happens, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is back at the time where it wasn't like today.
Mm-hmm.
They just burned the whole town. A lot of people got killed. And it took, I think, until the early part of the 1990s that Florida actually said, hey, this was a bad thing.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, so, the progressive people down in Florida.
You know, yeah. I'm about to get into that whole Spike Lee discussion again about how come you have so many movies from a black standpoint that are nothing but seem like downer stuff. But, you know, the last time I said that, I ended up on the telephone with Mr. Spike Lee being yelled at by Spike Lee.
I read a review of this movie, and this movie said through all of this, through this terrible, horrible story, there's a message of hope through this also. Is that true?
I think so. It's more of, you know... It's the why can't we all get along
right.
type thing, and that, you know, it doesn't have to be this way, and it's not this way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At least, I think in 90%, 99% of the country, it's not this way anymore.
You just wait. You want to see a happy black movie? You wait until Urkel gets
the
that
Urkel movie.
My man, Urkel. You know, he's been signed by our parent company now.
Yes.
CBS stole him away.
And that will ensure CBS carries on into the 21st century.
All right, so you got Rosewood and you got
Empire, and that's it. Do you want a movie that comes out next week? I saw a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Donnie Brasco.
Oh, yes.
The Al Pacino, Johnny Depp movie. Johnny Depp is an FBI, and I'm not giving anything away, he's an FBI agent who infiltrates the mob, and Al Pacino is a sponsor. And he is involved in the mob so much, Johnny Depp is, that he's there for 6 or 7 years.
This is so funny, and this is a true story. It's like Al Pacino's like, it's like Big Brothers. Mm-hmm. If you get somebody to bring you into the mafia, and he is like your sponsor.
He is about to make him a made man in the mafia. And Johnny Depp does not want to get out. He's saying, these people are now my friends, they're my life. And he has the FBI and his family trying to pull him out. It is not a Scorsese violent picture, which... disappointed me to a very small degree. I expected Goodfellas. I expected Casino as far as the violence goes. There is one scene where Johnny Depp has to cut off a guy's foot with a big bread knife. Which is pretty good. But
see, now that's entertainment.
I was going to tell you, Charlie, you know why I think you might have been disappointed? The same reason I get disappointed when I look at the trailers. As Don plays the sound of the bread knife.
Or the Elizabeth Taylor brain tumor.
I was going to say that I think the reason that you might be disappointed, I really, looking at Al Pacino, I know that he's done a lot of these movies, but I, you know, you stack him up in the gangster genre against Robert De Niro, and I don't think he's credible.
I don't think he does it as well. You look at De Niro and you say Psycho.
Right, absolutely.
You know, he's and you expect that baseball bat in The Untouchables.
Mm-hmm.
You expect the baseball bat in Casino that Joe Pesci got. That's what you expect, but in this movie, it's much more of a story. It's incredibly well acted. It's very well written. As a matter of fact, the guys, Barry Levinson's production company, did this, and the guy who wrote Disclosure, Paul, I think is pronounced Attasanio or something like that.
I thought that was Michael Crichton.
No.
He wrote the book.
This is not a Michael Crichton thing.
No, but didn't Michael Crichton write the
Disclosure? He wrote the book Disclosure.
No, yeah, he wrote the book Disclosure. I'm talking about the screenplay.
Ah,
all right.
That this guy did. It's very well written, very well acted. It's a little over 2 hours long, and I think if you go in expecting a very high drama story, much in the way of Serpico, that type of crime movie, you will not be disappointed. But it's incredible performances by both guys.
Al Pacino is a character of him, a caricature of what he used to be.
I agree.
And if you want some proof, go look at that last movie he did where he's the mayor of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a guy doing a bad impression of Al Pacino when he was in that one where he goes, I'm out of order, you're out of order.
Yeah, and it just doesn't seem credible anymore.
Tell him to stop going through the motions, Charlie.
I'll tell him next time I see him. I think I'll see him tonight at the Bulls game.
That damn Al Pacino.
I
wish I had tickets for that game.
A buddy of mine has tickets to that game. He's going to the game. That's a big game here in town.
President Clinton's supposed to be there from what I understand.
You know, how come I always hear from guys who always say, hey, listen, I've got great floor seats for the Bullets anytime you want them, but the only time that those guys ever offer me the tickets is like when the New Jersey Nets are in town. You know, where's one of those guys or those tickets tonight when the Chicago Bulls are in town?
Sure. They're all gone.
Oh, listen, one last thing,
sure.
Chuck.
Chick flick.
One last thing. The Howard Stern movie comes out in 2 weeks. We will have a premiere of that movie.
I saw it already, too.
I've heard it's very good, very funny.
It is it's surprisingly good, and I think that people are going to be very surprised in that it is not like as much like the radio show. It's very much a relationship movie between he and his wife. I think the beginning of the movie is an absolute laugh riot when he is a kid, and he has to go with his father into the studio, and he starts learning about radio, and it's the geeky Howard Stern as a young guy. It's very funny. If you listen to his show, I mean, he touts this as the greatest movie ever made, and that it's going to make $100 billion. The movie will do very, very, very well. It will, if you want to get into it more, we'll get into it closer at,
When we got the premiere, but we've got it in a couple of weeks, and I think some people are surprised that we've got a screening of this movie. Listen, I'm for anything that makes disc jockeys look better.
Man, a DJ that can get a feature film that's going to have a big first weekend, it's going to have a big run, more power to him, and that's the way we look at that.
And, something like this, too, it does not even go into his days with Infinity. It ends before he gets fired at NBC.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it stops. Right in the middle of the NBC stuff. I don't know if that's done purposely to lead for a sequel, which I would not be surprised, but that's how it ends. And it ends with him walking through the airport with his wife and kids, saying how lucky he is, that he has a great wife, he has great kids, he has a great job, everything he's ever wanted in life.
All right. We have the premiere in 2 weeks. We'll have that movie up for
there
you.
We go.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Chuck Stossel, the love muscle from AMC.
Didn't get a chance to ask him how his love life is going.
Oh, Charlie Stossel. Forgot about that, Mike.
Pretty safe to assume probably nowhere.
Yeah, nowhere. He's Charlie Stossel, everybody. He's crazy. He's nutty. He's a love machine. He's a very horny man.
Oh, he's a kookula.
He's alone a lot in a movie theater. He's Charlie Stossel. We'll be back with Buzz. Buzz and his brand new earring that he says he's had for the last 17 years. And then a low-budget Jeff Hardy and Regis out of the closet after
Don and Mike.